just like to call Moonjia out on his stupid stuff.
I agree, yeah, on his childish behavior. Running around on all fours, how dare you?
Exactly, so that he knows he looks stupid.
Yeah. You hear that, Moonjia? We're not impressed by you. Hello, everyone, and happy spooky season once again. And welcome to Two White Girls Talk Bollywood. I'm Kim.
And I'm Katie. And we're here to talk about singing and dancing and spooky Bollywood ghosts.
Indeed we are. Spooky Bollywood demons this time around.
Yeah. Yeah, like demon children. Possessed demon children.
Possessed and possessive demon children.
Yeah. We're talking about Moonjia.
Yeah.
And I hate this guy.
Oh, yeah. He's gross and evil.
Yeah, but like, the other movies in this cinematic universe, you know, it's like you might be a little freaked out by the things.
Mm-hmm.
But I genuinely am just like, oh my God, you're so annoying. Like, get over it.
Yeah, yeah. Moonjia's terrible. He definitely, like, you know, Stree, I feel like you develop sympathy for Stree over the course of the movie. And Baedia, they're just werewolves, so, like, that's fun.
Right.
But yeah, no, this guy's horrible.
He sucks.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm sure we'll talk a lot about that. What were your thoughts?
I had a good time, you know? I found it just as enjoyable. No, that's not true. I found it almost as enjoyable as I find Stree. Yeah, I liked it. I don't really have anything negative to say about it. I also don't feel like I have anything overwhelmingly positive to say about it. It was pretty much exactly what I was expecting it to be.
Yeah, I would echo that as well. That feels right. Like, they kind of have a formula now that works for them. Yeah, it's just, it's interesting because, you know, this was like not two debut actors, but two actors who haven't been in a ton. Like, this is one of their, well, I think this is the biggest film for both of them. Compared to, like, the other films of the cinematic universe where it's like you're coming in with, like, a pretty powerful actor or multiple actors that people can kind of like get excited about. So that was cool. And so I did enjoy seeing both the actors that are the stars of this one. But I also feel like the ending kind of just dragged on.
Yeah, it did. It did drag on a little bit. Like, it got to a certain point where I was like, there's still so much more time left in this movie. What are we going to do with all that time?
Yeah. And it's just like felt like a video game.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're like doing a boss fight and then the boss keeps like, just once keeps, you pass a certain level, the boss is like, oh, but wait, now I do this thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I thought it was a pleasant way to spend 2 hours. I was not bored. I also was not highly entertained. Like, I don't think I laughed at all.
Yeah. No, and I also felt like this one was maybe a little bit more serious, if that makes like, I didn't feel like it wasn't that I wasn't laughing at the jokes that they were setting up. Like, I didn't feel like they were setting up as many jokes as get set up in the other movies. So serious is the wrong word because it's still very ridiculous, but it's not like it wasn't trying to be like laugh out loud funny. I felt
I agree with that. The one thing that I really, really did love though was the music.
The music was really good.
Really good at building that like atmosphere, like whatever the Moonjia like music was, that like child singing
it was really creepy,
really well done.
So let's talk about our cast. We have Abhay Verma as Bittu, Sharvari as Bela, and then Mona Singh as Pami, who I just call Mom throughout the recap. And also
very big mom energy.
Yeah. And also Satyaraj as Elvis.
Yeah.
Which is fun. I know that Satyaraj is a very famous actor and he has been in more than Chennai Express, but that is the one thing that I will always think of.
I recognized him and couldn't remember how I recognized him. So thank you.
Because
I forgot to look him up.
It was just funny because I didn't recognize him until he took his wig off. And then I was like, Satyaraj.
That's really fun. I also was hit by the thought that Sharvari looks like she could be related to Shraddha Kapoor.
Hmm.
It was something in the eyes. They had similar eyes. And I was like, are you related? No. But At least not that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
But I was like, that's interesting. So that was a thought I had. Also, I think that the lead actor who plays Bitu is adorable.
He looks just like Darren Criss in Very Potter Musical.
Yeah.
It's like huge Darren Criss energy with the floppy curls and the glasses.
Oh, really, really cute.
Yeah. And the movie was directed by Aditya Sarpotdar.
Yes.
So, are we ready to dive into the plot?
Yeah, let's go.
Great.
Dark. Very dark.
Very dark. Mungia starts with a quote from Neil Gaiman's Coraline, which is an excellent book.
Yeah.
Fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us that dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be beaten. And our story itself begins in 1952 in a small village where a mother is beating her son, Gatya, with a switch. At least I think that's what this is.
I don't Thin know. Probably. Stick. Or a cane thing. Who knows? Yeah.
And yeah, what a way to start a movie.
Yeah.
Gatya apparently tried to poison the fiancé of his neighbor, Muni, whom he has been in love with forever, despite being 7 years her junior.
Yep. Just went straight to the rat poison.
He did, yes. So Gatya clearly has a bit of a problem.
A murder problem.
A murder problem. Gatya's mom sends him outside to finish his head shaving ceremony. I'm not sure what this ritual is called. I know it has a name, but that's all the subtitles gave us. So he goes out to finish the ceremony. Meanwhile, he has to watch Mooney's wedding happening right across the street. So just add insult to injury.
Yep.
With the two ceremonies complete, Gatya does what any scorned lover would do. He tricks his younger sister into accompanying him to the nearby ruins of Chetukwadi and attempts to sacrifice her using black magic.
Yeah. What?
Totally casual. It's all good.
He's very evil.
He's very evil for someone so young.
Yeah, like he just who he is evil. Like usually in these things, you know, whatever happens to them turns them evil. But no, this kid is just straight up evil.
He's just born evil. Yep.
There's a moment when he first pulls out his like switchblade to try to like slit her throat that she like fights him and breaks away. And then she just moves like 3 feet from him and stands there and is like, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? And I'm like, no. No, I'm sorry, but if someone's trying to make you a human sacrifice and they have a knife in their hand, you should just run. Don't just stand there and be like, what's going on?
I don't think that's bad advice. In her defense, she's very young and was probably a little confused. Like,
that's a knife that he's swinging at you, but you know. Whatever, she's okay for a while, at least.
Yes, well, so Gatya keeps saying that he will do anything for Muni, and this sacrifice will tie her to him forever. But his sister breaks free from his clutches and pushes him down. He falls at the foot of the altar, hits his head on the root of a tree, and dies as he cries Muni's name one last time. At Gatya's funeral, they bury his ashes at the foot of the altar and then tie a string around the tree. His mother asks why this is necessary, and a nearby man says that it's because Gotya died before the 10 days following the head-shaving ceremony. So if he comes back to life, he's going to come back as a demon. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
The man blows out the smoke from his cigarette, and it forms the word Mungia.
Mm-hmm.
Then we flash forward to present day, where a young man named Bitu is being chased by a street dog. He does manage to get away with his bag full of vegetables and heads to the salon where he works with his mother. Bitu, we learn, is a gentle soul. He lives with his grandma as well as his mother, and he's not really able to stand up to his domineering mother.
No.
His grandma is much more affectionate with him and tells Bitu that he's like his father, who died young and who grandma says was also scared of everything, including Bitu's mother.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Always a good sign for a relationship.
She meant specifically in terms of, like, wanting to marry her, but...
Oh, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Not in a,
forgot
you know,
about that.
Scary, she's an abusive partner kind of a way.
Yes.
Throughout these early scenes, we see Bitu have these flashes of an eerie voice calling his name, as well as seeing the altar where Gatya's ashes are buried. But it's fine. We don't need to worry about that right now. Bitu certainly isn't.
Yeah.
And we also learn that he is in love with his childhood friend, Bela. Bela's grandmother and Bitu's grandmothers were best friends. But Bela has a boyfriend. His name is Kuba, and she met him in America.
Yeah. Big American energy.
Except that I don't know where his accent's from.
But I have no idea. And he does speak Hindi pretty well.
He does, yeah, for a couple of white ladies, it sounds like he does a pretty okay job. So who knows what Kuba's story is. Bela invites Bitu and Grandma to the grand opening of the Zumba studio that she and Kuba are starting together. Bitu then goes to meet up with his best friend at a cafe. This friend is an aspiring filmmaker and calls himself Spielberg.
Yes, that's very cute.
It is very cute. Manifest those dreams for yourself, Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
Bitu pays Spielberg to make a video for Bela's Zumba studio and tells him to pretend he's doing it for free as a favor for Bela. But really, Bitu is gifting this to her because he loves her.
He's really in love with her. He's just like the definition of sweet, like love-struck best friend.
Yeah, that's very sweet.
He's so adorable.
He really is. At the grand opening, Bela pulls Bitu aside and asks him what he thinks of Kuba, saying she wishes Kuba knew her like Bitu does. Which, like, girl, think about what you're saying.
Right. Don't say that unless you know what you're doing.
Like, no. I mean, like, you clearly, like
Bitu.
Oh,
she should be with him. Yes. That's fair. Yeah.
I actually am willing to give Bela the benefit of the doubt in that she doesn't assume that Bitu's in love with her, even though it's pretty obvious.
Okay, yes.
But I just mean, like, think about, like, you want your boyfriend to, like, love you and care about you as much as your best friend does, who, you know.
Does actually just love you and care about you.
You know.
That's true.
But so then the lights in the studio go down and Kuba pops up and starts dancing to the Coca-Cola song from Luca Chupi.
Yeah.
Which, we definitely just recognized as a total coincidence. It had nothing to do with anything else.
Exactly. That was just fun. That was a fun pop out.
Yes. I like when different studios will do this where they'll like reference or they'll like pull a song from one of their other movies.
Yes. Yeah.
To play
I agree.
In the middle. Yeah. It's like, don't have to pay royalties to ourselves.
It's always very fun. Like, yeah, I feel like Yash Raj does that. Like, Yash
all
Raj
the time.
Films does that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Which is fine. They've got a lot of amazing music.
Yeah.
But so this is the build up to Kuba proposing to Bela. And Bitu is clearly upset, but even more upset as he once more hears the eerie voice calling his name.
Mm-hmm.
But then we cut to him and his mom and grandma on their way to celebrate his cousin Ruku's engagement.
Yes.
These flashes happen, like, almost like he leaves himself for a period of time and, like, sort of goes into a fugue state, which I don't know if that's exactly what they were going for, but it's cool.
Yeah.
They're headed back to their hometown where their extended family still lives. Mom is not happy about this trip, and she tells Grandma very cryptically that she doesn't want to go back after what happened last time.
Mm-hmm.
They arrive at Bitu's uncle's house, and things are immediately tense, especially between uncle and mom. Uncle reveals that he wants to sell Chetukwadi, again, the nearby ruins that apparently the family owns.
Yeah.
Grandma says that she can't allow this because Chetukwadi is cursed.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle insists and says that this is what Grandma's older son, Bitu's father, always wanted. Bitu asks Uncle to tell him more about his father's death, and apparently the father went to Chetukwadi to burn down the cursed tree, but he fell into the ocean.
Yeah.
A little suspicious.
Yeah. Oh, it is cool. I do like that, like, you can't get to Chetukwadi until, like, the tide is out.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a sandbar that you walk along. Like, that's a very cool, creepy touch.
It is a very cool, creepy touch. I agree. Bitu doesn't believe this at first, but Uncle says that his dad was totally crazy. Everyone in the village thought so. Bitu threatens Uncle, but Uncle lunges at Bitu, and Bitu runs away crying.
Uncle is a terrible person.
Uncle is a terrible person. He's awful.
Yeah. There are some things that I kind of, towards the end, was like, I'd be okay if certain things happened.
Same. Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Bittu gets on Uncle Scooter and rides to Chetuquati.
Yeah. Without any follow-up questions.
No, yeah. It's like, I'll
creepy cursed place.
Go see this place where my father apparently perished.
What a move.
What a move. He approaches the cursed tree and hears a rustling in the trees. And then we see a humanoid form leap out at him.
Mm-hmm.
We cut away from that moment to see the family all out looking for Bittu, and they realize that he is headed to Chetuquati. Uncle mm-hmm. is more concerned about his scooter than anything else, but Grandma decides to go after him. We see her go up into their attic and grab a mysterious cloth bag. She also looks at a picture of Gotia and his younger sister. Grandma is the sister.
Yeah.
I had been trying to think of, like, how the family was connected.
Right.
And yeah. I don't know why that didn't click for me, but I was like, oh, yeah, duh. Okay.
It didn't click for me either until that happened. But I obviously knew that it was going to somehow, yeah.
Yeah, somehow yeah. they were going to turn out to be related.
So
yeah.
I'm with you there.
Good. Yeah. I appreciate that. Grandma goes to Chetuquati and approaches the tree herself, and she finds her brother there in demon form, as Munjia.
Mm-hmm. Just a really quick fun fact mm-hmm. about Munjia. This, apparently, is the very first film in Indian cinematic history to star a central character made out of CGI.
Oh, that's cool.
That, like, one of the main central
like,
characters.
Yeah, yeah, like, driving force of the plot. That's yeah. really awesome.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Yeah. yeah. I
Good
hate
job,
him.
Munjia.
But yeah. he's groundbreaking stuff. Yeah.
Absolutely. That doesn't make us like him anymore, but good job, studio.
Mm-hmm.
Munjia has Bittu wrapped up in the vines of the tree and says that now that his descendant has come, he is finally free. But Grandma opens up her cloth bag and pulls out what I believe is the switch from what Mom was using on Gotia at the start of the movie.
I think so.
Okay, great. So Munjia is scared of this switch, and so he goes, like, back and hides in the trees. Grandma frees Bittu from the tree and then tells Munjia that he is just a silly kid.
Mm-hmm.
Grandma is helping Bittu limp away from the tree when Munjia grabs Bittu's shoulder, leaving a glowing handprint on his shirt.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, that's no good. Grandma and Bittu make it safely back to the mainland, and she explains to Bittu who Munjia is, and says she blames herself for Bittu's father's death. He used to suffer from the same visions and nightmares as Bittu.
Mm-hmm.
But she tells Bittu not to worry because Munjia is bound to the tree by his ashes. And she then says that as long as she's alive, she will protect him. Which I was immediately like, way to guarantee you're going to die in this movie,
I
Grandma.
I know. This was such a sweet, loving moment. And as soon as she said that, I was like, oh God, when is this going
to
happen?
Yeah, and we don't have to wait long.
No.
She and Bittu fist bump and then embrace. And then Bittu feels the handprint on his shirt burn. And we see it glow and send embers up into the air. The embers form into Munjia, who appears behind Grandma and snaps her neck.
Yeah.
It's
what
horrible.
A jerk.
Yeah, he is a jerk.
Like, yeah, he just wants to murder people. And
he does.
That in itself is bad enough, but something happens later on that I'm just like, really? But we'll talk about that.
Yeah, he's
this
gross
is just
and horrible.
I'm just dropping some foreshadowing.
For like what you feel are Munjia's true crimes.
Mm-hmm.
Poor Bittu wakes with a jolt in the hospital, where his family explains that they found Grandma's body on the beach the next morning. Very sad.
Yeah.
At Grandma's funeral, Uncle says he blames Bittu for Grandma's death, and also for having to postpone Ruku's engagement. He's really got his priorities in the right order.
His mom died.
Yeah. It's rough.
Yeah.
Mom overhears this and marches Bittu away from the funeral and back onto a bus to go back home. On the bus, the lights go out, and the woman sitting in front of Bittu complains that he pinched her. Bittu goes to sit further back on the bus, and then Munjia appears and confesses gleefully to be the one who pinched this woman.
Yeah.
Because he's creepy and horrible.
Yeah.
He explains that Bittu is now his tree, and Bittu is the only one who can see him because they are blood relatives. And he is now free from Chetuquati. Great.
Yeah. I do have some questions about, like, how that was possible.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because, like, in the future, he kind of needs, like, a symbol to shift around. But, mm-hmm.
I guess because his soul's not leaving his body, which is what the symbol does.
That's true.
But yeah, it did seem like it was pretty easy for him to just like, blah. But
yeah.
Whatever. It's magic.
Magic. That is true. You can't question it too much. Yeah.
You can't argue with magic.
No.
Moonjia briefly disappears, then reappears right behind Bitu and starts screaming for Bitu to find Mooney so he can marry her. When they're back home, Bitu wakes up in the middle of the night to Moonjia repeating that he wants to marry Mooney. Moonjia gets aggressive, throwing Bitu against the wall, chasing him through the house, and then causing a streetlight to almost fall on Bitu's mom's head. He insists that Bitu find Mooney immediately. So Bitu wanders the streets with Moonjia on his back until the sun rises and his mom opens the door to find him slumped over on their porch.
Mm-hmm. It's weird that this kid is like so obsessed with marriage.
Yeah.
You know, he's just like, Mooney, and it's like, bro, we get it. Stop but it's also, screaming about it.
Seriously. It's also, it's like the, like, young kid's version of marriage of like, well, yeah. It's like you're playing tag. Like, you're it now. We're married.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like you mentioned, like, the possessiveness of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh.
But this leads us into a montage with some very creepy music, where poor Bitu is trying to go about his daily life, but Moonjia keeps getting in the way by doing things like casually trying to kill a baby.
Yeah.
Which isn't great.
No, and like, why? Why?
Just because he's evil. And it's fun.
You're right. I should
things.
Stop questioning him. Yes.
You can question it as much as you want, and that's, yeah. Mom is obviously getting concerned about Bitu, and so is Spielberg, who accuses Bitu of smoking too much pot. Bitu decides to tell Spielberg about Moonjia, but Spielberg doesn't believe him, so the two of them wait for sunset for Moonjia to show up. Bitu tells Spielberg he won't be able to see Moonjia, but maybe he can hear him, and indeed, Spielberg does hear Moonjia scream at him and call him Lizard Face, which is rude.
Yep.
Now a believer, Spielberg suggests the quote-unquote Hollywood method of communicating with Moonjia. He grabs one of Bitu's t-shirts that has a Ouija board on it and tries to ask Moonjia what he wants, which we already know what he wants.
Right, like he is speaking a language they can understand.
He's being very clear about what he wants, yeah. And it's to marry Mooney.
Right. A Ouija board's not gonna make anything clearer.
I feel like the question should have been, who's Mooney? But we'll get to that later. And anyway, even if it had been a better question, it doesn't work. Moonjia picks up the shirt, rips it in half, and then says he wants Mooney once again. Spielberg shows Moonjia a music video with an actress or a character from a movie who I have to assume is named Mooney, and asks if this is who he wants. If, you know, if, will any Mooney do? But Moonjia says no. He wants Mooney Kanatkar.
Mm-hmm.
And then he threatens to kill Bitu's mom if he doesn't bring him what he wants.
Yeah.
Because again, he just likes killing.
He really does. And this is just making me realize that I never thought I had a preference on the type of like demonic presence I'd encounter in my life if I ever did. But now I am 100% certain that I want it to be like a grown-up demonic presence.
And not an immature child. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, fear aside, I just, yeah, so annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Bitu doesn't know who Mooney Kanatkar is, so he calls his cousin Ruku, who lives back in the village, to see if she knows who this is.
Mm-hmm.
Ruku says the family used to live next door to their family, but they moved away a long time ago. She then sends Bitu a picture of the family, and they realize Mooney is actually Bela's grandmother, who they call Akka. Moonjia overhears this and tells them to go to Akka's house now. Yeah. Cut to the boys sitting awkwardly in Akka's living room as she watches a Shah Rukh Khan movie, with Moonjia hanging from the chandelier.
Uh-huh.
There was definitely some comedy in these moments where they're just like, there's this, like, creepy guy, and we know he's there, but you don't know he's there. Like, those were the moments that I did find funny.
Yes.
They're about to leave when Bela comes home and gives Bitu a big hug, saying that she was so sorry to hear about his grandmother. Moonjia lurks in the background of this conversation as Bitu notices Bela isn't wearing her engagement ring, and she says she and Kuba are on a break.
Ooh.
Yeah, there's your in. Moonja starts to reach for Bela, but Bittu grabs her away, then tries to be normal as Moonja climbs up his back. Mm-hmm. He's not very successful, and Bela asks him if he's on drugs, because that's what everybody assumes is happening.
Yeah.
Then Bittu and Moonja slip out of the house while her back is turned.
I mean, it's pretty obvious at this moment that Moonja is into Bela and is maybe kind of upset with the fact that Moony is now an old woman.
Yeah.
And this was when I really decided I hated him.
I figured it would be, yeah.
Because I'm just like, okay, I didn't like you anyway, but at least I thought your love was true. But now you're like, oh, she's an old woman. I'm going to go with like the hot younger woman instead.
Exactly.
And like, if your love is so fickle, it's so stupid that you tried to murder multiple people for it.
Yeah, seriously, exactly.
Like, what an a-hole.
He's just so evil. There's just nothing good about him.
Yeah.
Just an evil, evil entity with the maturity of a child, and it's a nightmare.
Yeah, I feel for Bittu, for sure. Poor guy.
Yeah. But so Moonja is very excited that they have found his bride and tells Bittu and Spielberg to sacrifice her at the altar so her soul and his soul can be free together. He then threatens to once more kill Bittu's mom and Spielberg if they don't do this. So Spielberg agrees on their behalf, saying that they will kill Moony for him. But as you said, Moonja doesn't want Moony anymore. He now wants Bela.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg brings Bittu to a priest named Elvis Karim Prabhakar to hopefully try to solve this issue. I'm going to just call this man Elvis because that's fun.
Love that.
They see Elvis performing miracles before a crowd cheering and chanting hallelujah. After this performance, the boys meet with Elvis, who claims to be friends with the real Steven Spielberg, and says that Steven Spielberg wanted him to play Indiana Jones.
Uh-huh.
Sure. The boys explain their problem, and Bittu is skeptical that Elvis can help until Elvis sees the mark on Bittu's back and immediately recognizes it as the mark of Moonja.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis then drops his priest facade, opens his refrigerator, and steps inside to reveal a room full of demon-hunting paraphernalia.
I mean, I would get a movie about Elvis.
I know, Elvis seems like he's got a great backstory.
Yeah, he's pretty cool.
Very snappy dresser, too.
Mm-hmm.
Elvis says that he has defeated 4 Moonja already. I don't know what the plural is of Moonja, so I'm going with Moonja.
I don't know.
4 of them. And he shows the boys a scroll that explains how to defeat Moonja. Moonja will have to transfer his soul into the body of a goat, and so he'll have the boys help him to do that. And while he's inside the goat, they can kill the goat, and that will destroy Moonja.
Not a bad plan.
No. I was just trying to think of what this reminds me of like, okay, what's the thing that can only be killed in, like, a specific form? And I realized it's the Bug Man in Buffy. Do you remember the guy who, like, turns into maggots? Oh, yes.
Wow, that's a deep pull. But yeah, one of, like, the assassins.
Yeah, in his maggot form.
Stomping on his little maggots, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Gross.
There's probably other examples of that, but that's what came to my mind. But so what this all means is they're going to have to pretend to be going along with the wedding idea, and then Bittu and Spielberg will kill Moonja, so that means that they need to, like, get Bela somehow to come to Chetukwadi.
Mm-hmm.
Spielberg has the idea to offer to shoot a commercial for Bela's Zumba studio, and he says that they should do it in Bittu's hometown because then they won't have to pay for a location or for lodging. Bela agrees. So off they all go back to the village. We see them work on the commercial as a love song plays, Tenu Kabar Nahi.
Mm-hmm.
Bittu is imagining asking Bela out and having her say yes and just generally getting to shower her with love and affection.
It's cute. I also do really like the choreography.
Yeah, I like this number. It's a good classic love number.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, though, Bittu and Bela are sitting together on the beach, and Bela asks why he's been avoiding her since she got back from the U.S. She says some things may have changed, but one thing will never change, and that is their friendship.
Mm.
Just then she gets a phone call from Cuba, but she ignores it and tells Bittu she's starting to worry that he's not the right guy because he's been asking her to put aside what she wants in favor of what he wants, and she's thinking she wants to end this relationship, but she's worried that she won't find someone else if she does.
Yeah.
Again, Bitu's
right there.
A good entrance moment. But instead, Bitu gives her the advice to not be afraid. And so she gets up the courage to call Kuba back and break up with him. But then Kuba shows up on the beach with flowers and chocolates.
Yeah. And also, like, singing again.
Yeah. He's a real vibe, this Kuba.
Yeah.
He says that he's sorry and he'll do whatever Bela wants, and they reconcile because this was the issue. He wasn't giving up enough for her, and now he says he's willing to.
Mm-hmm.
Just then the sun sets and Moonjia appears asking who this thief is.
Uh-oh.
Yep, not so great. And then there's a moment where Kuba is kind of like trying to force Bela to kiss him and stuff, and she's like, no, I don't want that, and he keeps pushing for it, so I don't care what happens to Kuba.
Well, I do agree with you to a certain extent, and there's also just certain body horror things that I don't know if anyone...
That we could do without.
There's some people who deserve it, but
yeah. I don't actually think that Kuba deserves what happens to him.
No. So
Moonjia grabs Kuba, drags him off into the woods screaming. Somehow they get him back and they get him to the hospital, where a doctor reassures them that he will be okay, but he has in fact been castrated.
Yeah.
So that's rough.
Like, what?
Yeah. Again, very dark.
Very dark, and also the doctor's like, wow, this thing ate his testicles. Can I say testicles on here?
I think so. It's a body part.
It's a body part. And then I was like, well, that's crazy, though. Moonjia wouldn't eat them. But then later on, he's just like, yeah, I bet yours would also taste good.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh my god, I hate you. You're so weird.
He's so weird. It's so gross. It's so, so horrible.
He legitimately just, like, chewed them off.
He's, yeah. Now we can add cannibalism to the list of his evils.
Yeah. Blech.
So this is upsetting for everyone. Everyone in the movie, really, is upset by this news. Bitu tries to comfort Bela, but Moonjia pulls him away and into a storage closet. And he's wondering why Bela could possibly be upset that her boyfriend has been castrated.
Yeah, it's pretty traumatic for everyone.
Exactly, yeah. It's not great. This is when cousin Ruku comes into the storage closet looking for Bitu, and she can see Moonjia as well, because she is also his descendant.
Mm-hmm.
So now Ruku is in on the plan, and they still need to figure out how to get Bela to Chatuquadi, and Bitu asks Ruku where they can find some booze. Ruku and Spielberg steal a goat, while Bitu plies Bela with alcohol until she is giggly drunk.
Yeah, I did kind of expect him just to, like, fill her in on what was happening.
Yeah, that's a good point. She probably would have been like, okay, like, I trust you, like, we can figure this out.
Yeah.
And then the whole thing that happened wouldn't have happened, so that would have been a really good idea.
And then we wouldn't have had a movie.
Yeah. Well, we would have had a movie, but we would have had a shorter ending.
that's very true, yeah.
But so they call Elvis. Elvis is keeping his distance because if he gets too close, Moonjia is going to suspect something. But he tells them to follow Moonjia's directions, but then once his soul is in the goat, they kill the goat. So the crew goes to Chatuquadi. They draw a symbol on the goat's forehead, and then poor drunk Bela, they tell her that she is going to marry this goat. And she's like, cool. Yeah. It's cute. I'll do it. I'm drunk.
She's having a great evening.
She's having a lovely time. She's fully gotten over her boyfriend's horrible injury.
Yeah. Which probably is also indicative of the future of their relationship.
Yeah, and how much she probably doesn't care about him.
Yeah.
Once Moonjia has possessed the goat, Ruku starts to chant the mantra that Elvis gave them. And Bitu goes to kill the goat, but then Bela stops him and reveals that she has painted the symbol on her own forehead in solidarity with her future goat husband.
Very sweet of her.
But dangerous.
Yeah.
So the symbol glows on both Bela and the goat's foreheads, and their souls swap. The goat is now possessed by Bela, and Bela is now possessed by Moonjia. I don't know where the goat's soul went.
Do goats have souls?
I like to think so. I mean, they do have those creepy straight up and down pupils, or straight across pupils. But
yeah, they're freaky. They wiggle.
Yeah. Anyway.
Don't stare too deeply into a goat's eyes. Definitely not. You won't like what you see.
But goats are great. I'm all about goats. So Moonja's pretty upset by this, but because Bela was drunk, he is now drunk, and he tries to chase after them, but he trips and falls. Bitu, Ruku, and Spielberg get away, and they call Elvis for help, and he tells them, whatever they do, don't lose Goat Bela.
Mm-hmm.
But then Uncle arrives, and he has with him the owner of the goat, and they take Goat Bela back because they stole the goat, and everyone's upset about it.
Is fair, yeah.
It is fair. Bitu then tells his mom about this whole situation because he's like, well, she's gonna, like, get all upset about the goat stealing, and she can get Uncle to give us back the goat because they don't like each other, and that's the logic. But then Moonja shows up at the house trying to kill them, so Bitu and his mom have to hide. While they're hiding, mom gives Bitu a pep talk and says that she's sorry, she's always so hard on him. So that's nice. Then Moonja finds them, he chases them out of the house, but then Elvis appears and traps Moonja in a circle of salt. And this works just as well on Moonja as it does on witches and ex-boyfriends. Moonja is trapped within the circle of salt.
Yes.
Ruku and Spielberg stay to watch Moonja while Mom, Elvis, and Bitu go to retrieve the goat. But unfortunately, Uncle has eaten the goat. So
yeah, that was so fast.
Yeah. They cooked it and ate it in mere minutes.
Yeah.
But luckily, Spielberg leaves Ruku alone with Moonja to go and pee and discovers that no, in fact, the goat Bela has escaped into the woods and Uncle ate a different goat. So that's good.
Yes.
Spielberg goes after the goat, but Ruku, left behind with Moonja, pretends to be Bela again, and Ruku very stupidly goes into the circle, and Moonja is able to escape.
Like, why did that work? That shouldn't have worked.
That
You're
definitely
dumb.
Shouldn't have worked. I was disappointed in Ruku in this moment. So yeah, Moonja's free, he goes, he attacks Bitu, but Bitu manages to trap him with a net. Elvis and Mom are still thinking that Uncle has eaten Bela, and they think that if they put the symbol on his forehead that they might still be able to free her soul, which is, they think, dead in his stomach, but whatever. It's magic.
Yeah.
They tie him to a tree, they paint the symbol on his forehead, but just then, Spielberg arrives with the real goat Bela, and so then the goat and Uncle and Moonja all start shaking as the soul-swapping ritual takes effect.
Yeah, this I did think was very, like, ridiculous and fun. Like,
yeah,
it's just getting more and more complicated.
Yeah, I was having a good time. The goat runs away. Bela's soul goes back into her body, so she's all set now. And Moonja is now possessing Uncle. And that's not great because he's a big, strong dude.
Mm-hmm.
He starts attacking everyone, but eventually Bitu and Bela get free and they run to the beach. Moonja finds them, knocks out Bitu, and drags Bela back to Chetukwadi. When Bitu comes around, he's very upset. He starts crying, but then Grandma appears before him. And just like the grandma in the movie Moana, she gives Bitu a pep talk and tells him not to be afraid.
Yeah.
She says it's time that he release the storm within him, and they fist bump as she fades into nothing.
Always love a grandma ghost.
Oh, yeah. It's one of the better kinds of ghosts, I think, as long as it's not like a violent, scary grandma ghost.
Yeah.
Bitu then sees the switch that Grandma used against Moonja on the beach. Bitu picks it up and goes to the tree, and he and Bela manage to fight Moonja, and Bitu eventually manages to strike Moonja with the switch, and we see that it leaves a burning mark on his back.
Mm-hmm. It hurts him.
It hurts him. And I will say, this is one of the low bars that we experience sometimes with films, but I was glad that Bela wasn't just, like, a damsel in distress. She's, like, actively involved in this fight, and it couldn't have happened without her, which is great.
That is a nice thing to note, yeah, because it's true.
Yeah. Bitu manages to land blow after blow on Moonja's back, asking him who does he think he is? Why does he only think about marriage? And did he ever consider what Moony wanted? Moonja grabs him. No, he did not. The answer is no. Moonja grabs him and slams him against the tree, but Bitu says Moonja is just a silly kid. He's not scared of him anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We see Bitu reach up over his head, and then Moonja shudders. Bitu has drawn the symbol on the tree and beaten it into Moonja's back.
Yeah.
Moonja's soul then goes into the tree, and Uncle comes too and freaks out and runs away.
Yeah, I kind of hoped that he would just die.
I
know
sure.
That's cruel, but...
But we didn't like yeah. Uncle. He was a bad guy.
No.
He ate that whole goat.
That's his greatest sin.
The tree starts to pull up its roots, and we see Munja inside in his demon form, sending the branches out to grab Bela and pin down Bitu. But Bela gets free, grabs a bottle of lighter fluid, and throws it on the tree. Bitu also mm-hmm. breaks free and throws a torch on the tree, which goes up in flames.
Yeah. Fire.
Fire.
Not That'll good for trees.
Does it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Bitu and Bela cower together as they watch the tree burn, and then Grandma reappears to Bitu, looking on approvingly.
Mm-hmm.
A few weeks pass, and we see Bitu go to Bela's house. She's packing up her things and moving to Brazil, where she can learn advanced Zumba.
Yeah.
Bitu finally takes this opportunity to confess his love for Bela. And Bela says she really likes him too, but she doesn't want to lose him. Mm. And Bitu says that he doesn't want to be a burden to her like Munja, and tells her she should go and live her life.
Aww.
They hug, and he reassures her that everything may change again, but their friendship never will. Which is very sweet.
Yeah, it's very cute.
Yeah. And everyone's lives kind of go back to normal. Bitu watches hair tutorials and cyber stalks Bela. Elvis goes back to his old tricks, and Uncle's family now has to treat him like a tree.
Yeah. Like,
I think he ended up with a tree soul.
Yeah. What happened to his soul?
His soul is in the goat that ran away.
Right.
And the goat soul, who knows? We end by seeing that the tree didn't burn all the way down, and there are people who are cutting it down, and Bitu hears Munja's voice, but it's okay, because Bitu has the switch.
Mm-hmm.
So that's ending number one.
Yeah, I knew. I was like, oh, he's not gonna be gone.
No. Could never be that easy, even though it was really difficult. We do get an end credits number, Taras, which has Bela looking great in a black ensemble with a high slit. It's very cute.
Yeah, her abs are good.
Slamming. Slamming abs.
Yeah. It's all the Zumba.
Yeah, that must be it. We then see some men loading the pieces of the cut up tree into a truck. The dance number ends, and finally, we see our old friend Jana as he wanders through the woods calling for Basky, Basky.
Yeah.
Baskar appears nude behind some rocks, and Jana throws him some clothes, including underpants that say Mooney on the waistband.
Mm.
We see the demon form of Munja gleefully whisper Mooney, and that's the real end of the movie.
Yeah. What's gonna happen? A crossover?
I don't know. I didn't realize, and maybe this was explicit and I should have realized this, but I didn't know that this was a part of the same cinematic universe. I thought this was like just another horror comedy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's great. I'm glad that it's all connected.
Well, it is funny because did you notice that in one of the scenes when like Bitu comes home, his mom and like his aunt are watching Stree?
Oh, I didn't realize that's what they were watching.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
great.
But so, then it gets really meta.
Yeah.
It's
wait,
in,
so
the,
then...
in the same universe, but Stree the film exists, but that's real life to the people in Stree. So
maybe Stree's a documentary and we're Ooh. All in that, we all live in this universe.
Yeah. Although, you know, they now do have like a videographer. So
that's true.
They could make a documentary style
yeah.
flick with all of these monsters.
They could. Or they could go like found footage route and we could get like a Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Kind of situation. Overall, a perfectly good, fun horror comedy movie.
Yeah.
I find the whole idea of Bitu kind of comparing himself to Munja interesting, because
yeah.
Bitu is really not like Munja, and...
Not at all.
There was a part of me that, you know, we set up the, like, he's got a crush on his best friend thing, and we've got
right.
Munja doing his thing, where I was like, is Munja gonna, like, make him into a creep? And I was glad we
yeah.
didn't go that route, because that would have made it harder to like Bitu, but I don't feel like him comparing himself to Munja makes sense, because that didn't happen, and he's just, like,
yeah,
genuinely a good guy and always was.
I agree with that. Yeah, because from the start, he's been, like, very supportive. He's been sad about Bela having this boyfriend, yeah. but he hasn't done anything about it. And, in fact, has been supportive in her trying to, like, work things out with right. Kuba. So,
yeah,
I agree with what you said, because I did also think that we were going to go in one direction,
mm-hmm.
and we didn't. And I was grateful for it, because yeah. it's like, please... don't be a lecherous creep for the entire film.
Yeah.
Because there's not a ton of, like, character development or growth.
No.
So it was almost like, okay, well, that was, like, an attempt at that.
Right. Where I feel like the real character development for Bittu is him, like, kind of overcoming how, like, cautious he is and how
yeah.
like, protected he is by his mom and his grandma. And he has to just, like, kind of come into his own. Yeah, so just interesting.
It'd be interesting to see if they make a second one.
Yeah, or they just kind of tie these characters into the other yeah. bigger stories.
I would we'll be happy out. To see more of them.
Yeah, me too. Like you said, I really enjoyed these lead actors, and I wouldn't hate it if we never saw Moonjia again, but I think that's probably too much to ask for.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what's going to happen next, you know? He's already been like a tree.
That's true. We're just going to have to keep throwing his soul into different things and different
yeah,
people.
Yeah, more and more absurd things, like Fast and the Furious franchise. Like, you yeah. just got to keep outdoing yourself.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, we're going to have to jump some sharks. And then I was like, put his yeah. soul in the shark.
Ooh, land shark.
Yeah. So what did you research yeah. for this week?
Well, I researched Moonjia.
Excellent.
Yeah, I was like, this is probably a legend. And it is.
Great.
So... Moonjia is also referred to as the demonic child.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so that's fun. It is often depicted as the restless spirit of a Brahmin who met an untimely or violent death, often before completing crucial rites or achieving spiritual fulfillment.
Ah.
The term Moonjia is derived from the name of the sacred grass used in Hindu rituals, Moonjia grass.
Okay.
The name is meant to symbolize the spirit's unfulfilled ritualistic journey.
Hmm.
In the film, we see the boy go through Upanayana,
okay,
which is a sacred ceremony that marks the transition of a Brahmin boy aged between 8 and 13 into manhood.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I'm assuming was the ceremony that we saw. I didn't see any mention of hair shaving being part of it, but it might be within his specific culture that it was part of the ceremony. I'm unsure.
Hmm. And I have seen that term for that ceremony used for one where someone's hair was getting shaved in a different movie. So okay. I absolutely think you're right. The minute you said it, I was like, yep. And that clicked for the one other time that I've seen this in a movie.
Perfect. So yes. And during this ceremony, the boy is adorned with the sacred thread, because that's what it stands for. It's the sacred thread ceremony, which is a symbol of his new spiritual responsibilities and status. Also, fun fact, in Marathi, the ceremony is called the Moonjia ceremony.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's like a few websites, there's a few different legends floating around out there, but according to legend on one website, if a boy dies within 10 days after his Upanayana ceremony, he is transformed into a Moonjia. And according to folklore in Maharashtra and the Konkan Coast, which is where this movie takes place,
mm-hmm.
a Moonjia is believed to be the ghost of a boy who died after the Upanayana ceremony, but before marriage.
Ah, okay.
So some people are like, it's within 10 days. Some people are like, it's just before the boy gets married, because that marks the like beginning of the next stage.
The next stage, yeah.
Of his spiritual development.
All of this is really sad, because it's like, you can't help if you die in yeah. most instances. So it's like, you die and then you're like stuck as this demon until someone like frees your soul somehow. Like
yeah.
that's really sad.
Which makes me kind of think about like the way that they decided to tackle the Moonjia character in this film. Because they could have made it sad.
Like, he could have been, like, a tragic character. Yeah.
Yeah, he could have been, like, sweet, who was just in love, who, like, wasn't trying to murder anyone,
mm-hmm.
but then died tragically, and it then twisted him into something murderous.
Yeah.
But maybe they were just like, no, we don't want that. We just want straight-up evil that everyone can, like, root against.
Which- right. Yeah.
Is valid.
Before you said yeah. the thing about twisting him into a murderer, I was like Casper, but that's not what happens in Casper.
No, Casper's just a sweet ghost boy.
He's just a friendly ghost from start to finish.
Except for when he's able to be a real boy for a little bit. It's like, whoa.
And then he's just a friendly, cute, real boy.
Yeah. Oh, man. That poor 13-year-old girl is probably like, well, I wish I'd never seen this.
My first kiss was dead Devon Sawa. I'm never coming back from that.
Yeah, that's a bummer. But anyway, back to the Munjia.
Yeah.
Munjia have sadistic natures and typically haunt peepal trees, which is a species considered sacred in Hinduism.
Okay.
Konkan folklore describes Munjia spirits as restless bachelor ghosts.
Oh, God.
Who roam trees at night and possess cleverness and multilingual abilities.
Oh, fancy. He can speak English. That's very important to him.
That's true. And fun fact, one rationale for the belief in Munjia is that peepal trees emit substantial carbon dioxide at night, and the fear of Munjia deters people from lingering around peepal trees after dusk.
Oh.
Because I do wonder if, like, historically speaking, if people were lingering under those trees after dusk, if they then staggered home acting possessed.
Like, kind of loopy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who knows?
That's really interesting.
But the Munjia typically targets girls and women.
Great.
Yay. And its wrath can be invoked when a victim disturbs or damages its peepal tree.
Hmm.
Some examples of these disturbances / damages include pelting the tree with stones, introducing trash or human waste to the tree. Don't do that to any tree. I don't care if it's haunted or not. Consuming liquor while seated beneath it, or leaving meal leftovers, like bones, near the tree.
Okay. Everyone just leave peepal trees alone. Don't,
exactly.
Don't interact with them in any way.
Yeah, no. So how does the Munjia torment its victims?
Oh, gosh.
Sometimes it just throws stones. It seems to like throwing stones, like, a lot.
Well, I guess people. That makes sense, like, if you throw stones at its tree and it's like, well, I'm going to throw stones at you now.
Yeah. So, you know, there's that. That's not so bad.
No.
You can come back from that. But in some instances, it haunts its victims relentlessly until they fall gravely ill or even die.
Oh, well, that's sad.
Yeah. There are also stories of the Munjia pricking its victims with thorns, burning them with fire, or even infecting people with dangerous intentions, causing them to commit acts of violence.
Oh, boy. See, that was what I was worried was going to happen in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad it didn't.
He was going to make Bitu like a murderer.
Yeah.
Or bad person.
Yes.
What a sweet boy.
I know.
He wouldn't have been able to come back from that.
No, he would have been corrupted.
Yeah. So, to avoid the Munjia's wrath, people refrain from any actions that might attract its attention.
Good.
Yeah. Villagers often build platforms around a haunted peepal tree and tie sacred threads around its trunk as a sign of respect and protection.
Mm-hmm.
These actions are intended to honor the tree and pacify the spirit.
I see.
I also just wonder, like, who took down the threads? Like, this,
because
they put the sacred threads around the tree, and then when we see the tree again, those are... Yeah.
And like, I wonder if it was his dad? Like, that
didn't
really get specified, like, what he went to the tree to do, but why would he do that?
Because he went to burn the tree.
Yeah. So I don't know. I was wondering that, too.
Yeah. But exorcists, because we got to talk about Elvis, the Elvises of the world, also play a significant role in dealing with Munjia hauntings. Water is a common tool used because the sprinkling of consecrated water is believed to purify the afflicted individual and drive away the malevolent spirit.
Hmm.
And this method also represents the importance of ritual purity and the use of sacred elements in maintaining spiritual and physical well-being.
Hmm.
Yeah. That was all I could find on Munjias.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's plenty. I think it's really helpful to have the mythology of the movie rooted in actual mythology.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool. I really like that. I also just want to say here that I'm happy that Elvis lived.
Me too.
Because it really felt like he could have died. Like, I was picking up on some could die vibes.
Yeah. I agree. And especially, like, I think in a smaller movie, when you have a big actor, it's like, what are you doing here? Did you just come here to die?
Yeah.
So yes, I was also really relieved that Elvis made it to the end.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I enjoyed that research segment. And again, I think it's nice to hear what the inspiration was for this story. And
yeah.
It certainly seems like they were drawing elements from the real mythology to
give
it some depth.
And I do like, too, that they purposely kind of go to certain areas of India that mm-hmm. maybe don't necessarily get shown a lot in, mm-hmm. like, the settings of films. I think that's very cool.
Yeah.
So that's Moonja.
Excellent. Yes.
Fun.
Check.
Add it to the lineup of, like, spooky movies for the spooky season.
Mm-hmm.
But moving on to hopefully not spooky things, Bollywood news.
I have no Bollywood news, spooky or otherwise.
Me neither. Not a surprise. So then we'll go right to pluggables.
Mm-hmm.
Follow us at Two White Girls Talk Bollywood on Instagram. I also have to mention here that we do not have a TikTok anymore. Totally cool, but, you know, life is life. Yep. We're busy people.
Yeah.
We're done with that, with the young kids games. Yeah, so just follow us on Instagram. Do whatever you do there. And consider subscribing to us on whatever podcast platform you listen to us on. And you could also even think about leaving a rating or a review on said podcast platform.
Yeah.
But whatever you do or do not do, thank you so much for listening.
Yeah. And join us as well on YouTube and Spotify, where we keep our Bollywood bangers playlists and add the songs that we love from the movies that we watch every week to those playlists. We link them in our episode descriptions as well as in our Instagram posts on Tuesdays, so you can come and follow along there.
Woo! Next week, we're switching it up because we honestly couldn't find enough spooky movies that aren't actually too spooky for me to watch that... Yeah.
Yeah, slash anyway. That we actually want to watch. Because we don't want to just be like, let's watch spooky movies, but, like, we'll watch ones that we're, like, not super interested in just because they're spooky. Like,
that's true.
Yeah. So we're gonna alternate. So the next one's not spooky.
Correct. And, in fact, we're going back to one of our OG films
mm-hmm.
that we watched when we first were getting into Bollywood. And we will be watching Luca Chupi.
Indeed, we will.
Yeah.
And by we will.
We already did.
We already did, which was how we recognized the Coca-Cola song.
Yes. Brilliant. Yeah.
For reasons that are all our own, we did record a couple of things backwards. Eagle-eyed listeners will be able to tell, but eagle-eared listeners. Anyway, yes, Luca Chupi, it's going to be a good time. We already know because we've already experienced it. And it is.
That is true. It is. It holds up. Yeah.
We can guarantee.
We like it a lot.
Our plot description on IMDb is, pretending to be married in order to cohabitate, a small town couple lands in endless awkward situations to hide the truth from their orthodox families.
Yeah.
Pretty solid.
That is solid. Awkward situations. It's just like, it feels more desperate than that, you know?
Awkward in the first half, desperate in the second.
Yeah. Oh, look at that. So Luca Chupi is available to watch on Netflix, mm-hmm. and the Netflix synopsis is the same.
Oh, great. It's usually, that's not usually what happens here, but that's great.
No, so I don't even need to go into that.
That explains why it's such a good description on IMDb, because they lifted it from Netflix.
Yeah, so there we go. We normally would say, wow, we hope that we like it as much this time around as we did when we first fell in love with it, but can confirm we really enjoyed it.
We did, and had a lot more to talk about this time around, so we hope you enjoy listening to us talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Even more fun, we recorded together.
We did. Person. Yes.
Yeah, very fun. So definitely watch it. We 100% recommend it.
Uh-huh.
Enjoy. And until next time, remember, Bollywood doesn't need us.
Nope.
But we need Bollywood.
Everyone except Moonja.
Yeah, I can't stand that guy.
Definitely not.